This call is now being recorded. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Aptar Technology Task Force call on the 18th of May 2016. On the call today, we have Gordon Chilcott, Devon Antwerpsen, Olivier Coutinho-Bloom, Evan Leibovich, Darren Gillen, and Judith Hallerstein. We have a guest speaker today, Chris Dipp, and we receive an apology from Ariel Michel. From staff, we have Ariel Yang and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all that please stay 20 minutes before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Dev.
Okay, and thank you, and a very good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. My name is Devon Antwerpsen, Chair of the Technology Task Force. We have a packed agenda, so we might actually go beyond a little bit beyond the hour. So let's just get right into it. To review of our action items, there were two action items. Wiki page to be created about remote hubs requirements and do's and don'ts. This wiki page has been complete done. Obviously, it has to be populated. But the actual wiki page has been obviously done. Also, Devon Antwerpsen to add review of Global Meet as a conferencing solution to test. This was brought up during the remote hubs discussion with ICANN staff on our previous technology task force call, and it has been added. I haven't figured out when we'll have time to do it, though. We might have to try to do a special purpose call for that, and we probably could discuss that under our next steps. Okay, so those were the two outstanding action items. So the next agenda item is the outcomes from the fiscal year FY16. There were two technology related proposals that were submitted by at large for inclusion to be budgeted in the next ICANN fiscal year 16 budget. One was the creation of e-books that Glenn McKnight has been looking at, and the other one is captioning. I think Glenn is correct, going to come in later on the call. Judith, do you want to talk about the captioning aspect?
Sure, this is Judith Hallerstein. I don't have any. We did get funding from the core for the captioning proposal. I'm still waiting for Heidi hadn't had a chance to talk to Josh last week from the ICANN IT staff about it, and then once that happens, Heidi will brief us, and then there's a bunch of people who sent me their names, and I have all the names who would like to be part of the committee that decides on the pilot. One idea I had was we need to figure out a way to catalog all the requests from different Rallos of which of their meetings they want captioned, and then to figure out which one we'll choose a month, because we only have three a month. So, but we need to have more information from Heidi before we start going, and maybe Natalie or Ariel can give me an update on that.
Okay. All right, this is Dave. Thanks, Judith. Let me ask a quick follow-up question. So is it that the captioning program will be using the Caption First service that we had demoed on the technology and accessibility calls, or is ICANN itself looking at a totally different captioning solution?
This is Judith Hallerstein again, for the record. ICANN is using Adobe, as we are using Adobe Connect for our calls. Adobe Connect, as you recall from our demo that we did last year, only has three providers on there for the Adobe Pod, and we know that Caption First has their own pod, which we liked and which we decided was a better pod. We do not know if other people have also pods.
I see.
So we don't know anything about that yet, but possibly Josh could follow up on that. I doubt, unless a company has a pod that works with Adobe Connect, we would use Aaron. Right now, we've tested the both the Adobe Pod and the Caption First Pod, and we determined that the Caption First Pod is preferable. Possibly they would, so we probably may start using those, but I think the idea is if there's another vendor who also has a good pod that works, we would be happy to try them out too. I don't want to say it's only Caption First. It's just that that is what we've tested so far of the two pods that are available to, in Adobe Connect. And we liked the Caption First because we thought it was a higher rated, and that was the majority opinion of everyone who was on the call, including the ICANN staff.
Right.
So I don't know, but as again, I bump it up to staff, and maybe Ariel or Natalie, who are here on staff, can have had a chance to talk to Heidi and can give us an update of when we can get more information.
Okay. All right, thanks, Judith. Well, I don't know if Natalie or Ariel will have that information, but obviously feel free to chime in if either of you do.
Deb, this is Natalie. Just to let you and Judith know that I have received no updates from Heidi regarding that, but I've relayed the query, and Heidi will get back to you as soon as possible.
Great. Okay, thanks, Natalie. This is Dave again. Now, one of the things that was mentioned in the FY16 budget as a line item in the budget was funding for something called CABI. And I believe this is the website for CABI. So CABI describes itself to be able to do document collaboration. And I believe this is probably, if you recall previous discussions, some of the AAC and SO chairs in Los Angeles were talking about the concerns of how to, especially within the GNSO and the ESAC, were concerned about how the complications dealing with document collaboration. You know, you're emailing documents to one another, and of course, you know, the challenge of keeping track and up to date. So I believe CABI was one of the solutions that's been looked at to try to alleviate that type of problem. But perhaps this may have also offer some benefits for at large. So on the call is Chris Gift from ICANN, who can tell us a little bit about, or perhaps show us some more information about what exactly is CABI. So Chris, if you want, you could take the floor and tell us more about CABI.
Sure. Sure, this is Chris Gift. Thank you very much, Deb. Yes, CABI is a tool used by a number of standards organizations to develop standards and policies. Louder, huh? Is this better? It's used by a number of standards organizations for their working groups to develop policies and standards, technology standards, but basically all types of standards. And it's used globally by, I think, over about 125 organizations. Given that the working methods of standards bodies are very similar to the way we work in terms of the working groups, we thought it'd be a good test. When we looked around, you know, we thought that was the one that was one of the most similar to the features and requirements that we were looking for. So right now, we're in the middle of it's really a proof of concept. I don't even want to call it a pilot, where we're trying to test two ideas. The first is, does automated administrative help assist the secretariat in managing the working group? Because there's a lot of activity around a working group in terms of onboarding members, new members, signing up to mailing lists, making sure their statement of interest is kept up to date or they have one subscribed for this working group. There's some aspects of CABI and those kinds of systems that will allow you to automate some of those features. And so we're testing that and saying, okay, does that truly help, or does that just add another layer of effort for everybody? Yeah, the second idea that we're testing is to look at that and say, does a very structured environment such as CABI assist the working group in preparing documentation versus an unstructured environment such as a wiki space, which is far more free-flowing? And again, you know, these are very much tests that we're conducting right now. So you can look at the cubby space that we have for ICANN. I just went and put a link in there. You won't see anything right there when you go in. I mean, I don't believe there are any documents attached or any calendar events or anything uploaded right now. But you can, and so it's very bare bones, but you can at least get a sense of what's there. So far, the pilot has been going on for a few weeks, or proof of concept, I should say, has been going on for a few weeks, and we're starting to get some initial a sense of progress or how it's being used. And so I think we'll have an official report out within, not an official final report, but we're going to have a preliminary view of the effort in about 2-3 weeks. We want to have something out in time for Buenos Aires meetings. Yeah, Murray, I understand about the structured platform that should help, but what we're finding is actually that people are not participating in the structured platform like we had hoped. Now, we're still not sure whether that is just because of training issues or just, time. People don't have the time to participate fully. So we're going to continue to investigate this and try to better understand what's the problem and or if the solution is not the appropriate solution. In any case, we'll have a report out soon, and then we'll keep moving forward, either finding another solution to look at or finding another path forward. Hopefully that makes sense. Anybody have any questions about how we're proceeding?
Well, this is Dave. Thanks, Chris. I mean, I think one of the things that attracted me from reading the documentation, and I've posted the link in the chat, was the notifications. And, well, just to remind you how the policy development works is that if there's a decision that there should be a policy comment on an item that's open for public comment, there is a wiki page is created and some pen holders are assigned to write a first draft, gather comments, and then write a second draft, and then a final document is a statement is readied to be voted on by the ALAC. But it is all pretty much done manually. In a sense, it's all done on the wiki, and somebody has to keep updating the wiki and sending out an email notification when the first draft is done, when the second draft is done, and so forth. So the notifications aspect actually is probably something that's kind of interesting, because it appears to be a way of, the system can send out the notifications one time when the pen holders are assigned, and then a notification and go out to at large or to a relevant working group, et cetera, so that's something that's attracted my attention, and maybe this might be useful for at large. So
it's true. It does do that.
I see Evan has his hand raised. Evan, please. Sorry, Evan.
No, that's okay.
No,
when the conversation is going, I'm not going to butt in, but I'm going to assume that in a platform like this, like just about any other, you can subscribe to something, and that is to follow the issue. So when somebody makes a change or some milestone is achieved, you automatically get an update mail. And in fact, a lot of these platforms will say, okay, I want to get it in a weekly digest, or I want to know as soon as there's some change to the situation. I'm going to assume that this will, I mean, I don't know Kavi, but I'm going to assume that this does, because so many other platforms like this will do it. And I'm sorry my audio is low. I'm actually talking in an office, so I can't talk at my normal volume. Sorry, folks. Anyway, that was just my point in the concept of following along with something. Even if you weren't a frequent participant in the calls or whatever, you could subscribe to an issue and be notified as there were changes. Or that also meant when there was a call for a vote or a call for a finalizing of the draft or something like that. My guess is if Kavi is anywhere near the kind of platform you're talking about, Chris, that it's certainly going to have that kind of a feature to it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Evan. Chris?
Yes, this is Chris Gift. So yes, Evan, and I'll get to your question as well. Yes, Evan, it does have those kinds of public subscription features for events, so that you can see when a particular event occurs, you can be notified of that, both for the public as well as for working group participants. Now, as far as ODV's question about, you know, walking through, the way it works is that Covey or tools like this. So they provide a great many features for administratively onboarding and managing a working group. So it's a one place for somebody to have all of your calendar events, your document repository for all the documents associated to that working group. And then, again, notifications around those events. It also ties in voting. And I'm trying to recall what other aspect it does off the top of my head. But what's the beauty of it is that it's all linked to your working group membership and participation. So, for instance, you can have different types of members participating in the working group. So you can have observers versus full participants. And events will automatically go out to different people depending on their participation level. So a vote may be called to vote, but then that'll only go to participants, but not the observers. And then you can automatically track those votes, send reminders out, and so on and so forth. And the same goes for documents. Documents as they're posted up to the document library, notifications go out for people to review the documentation, and so on. So the nice thing about it is that it's a fully integrated system, so that you don't have to send out calendar events separately from uploading a document event, for instance. So whenever I create a calendar event, I can automatically associate a document that was uploaded. So then people can see, the content of that, of the meeting, and so on. Oh, and the last thing is it also includes a whole emailing system, so that the list discussion, so the list is part of the working group. And you're not seeing that online right now, but so that the list happens within the context of that working group and then is managed by the system. So it has a great many interesting features, but it does assume a fair level of participation by the working group participants in terms of using the system. And right now, I think the test is a little bit vague as well. Not vague, but maybe not going as well as we'd like, because I think we're also running it in parallel with other with the wiki. So I think people are probably defaulting back to the wiki. But again, a lot of this I need to check with Steve Allison, who is running the pilot. But regardless of how the pilot turns out, the proof of concept, I think still learning a lot about these kinds of systems as well as how the community could interact with these kinds of systems.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. This is Dave again. Olivier, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Thanks very much, Dave. Olivier Kapanov speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Thank you. Just one thing to keep in mind when testing those systems is also to make sure they're quite easy to use, and certainly for novice users. The screenshot which Dave pointed us to from the chat shows definitely an interesting screen, but I felt it was very cryptic. And we do have a number of people who are not well-versed in these things, especially when it comes down to our international audience. So I think we'll probably need to do some work to make these things as self-explanatory as possible, thinking, the Apple interface type thing. When things become intuitive, then people don't start seeing this as a barrier, but more as just a channel that they can use. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Olivia. This is Dave. Indeed. But any other thoughts or comments? Yeah. So I guess my question, my next question for the technology task force is that should we get involved in testing this solution? I think I could see a need for it in terms of the policy development. But I just worried about, of course, our bandwidth ourselves in order to... So, Chris, let me ask you a question. Can persons be added to this to test CAVI from the at-large?
This is Chris Kift. Yeah, absolutely. We could very easily spin up another group, or because the working group that's using it is an active working group. It's the DMPM working group, and they're trying to use it in the context of doing their work. But we could easily spin up another working at large working group, or just a test group, and you guys can just kick the tires, see what you think. That can easily be done. Anytime.
Okay. All right. That might take you up on that, Chris. This is Dave again. Murray, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Murray McCurcher speaking. So just I'm trying to get a sense of what was lacking in the wiki that the new system could complement. The only reason to sort of speak quickly to Olivier's point, so if we're getting something new to learn, it's always of a friction to make that happen, or is there actually something lacking in the wiki? I don't know, because I haven't done that much policy work to this point. But I was just wondering, Chris, whether that was a super problem or anyway. I'm just speaking from a position of ignorance. Thank you.
Okay, this is Dave. Thanks, Murray. All right, just to answer the question. From what I understand of the CAVI's, just reading the CAVI's feature set, it helps is in the notifications that go out during policy development cycle. So what happens is that ICANN at large staff, Ariel, to be just more precise, is the one that handles the policy development the wiki for all our policy comments and so forth. So she creates the page, she sets up the first draft, and then the ALAC itself picks out who will be a pen holder, and in order to get a first draft and second draft and so on. But at each step of that whole process, it works, but it's still a lot of manual back and forth, to make that happen. And what CAVI, I think, can potentially do is alleviate those types of notifications. And better be able to track the deadlines rather than you mentally having to go to another calendaring system to track the deadlines. So that's really the key benefit, possible benefit. So, okay, we're spending quite a bit more time. This is an interesting discussion. So I think the question is, by a tick of hands or if there's any objection, should we ask for some persons from at large to actually kick the tires of CAVI and see how this works, and if there are any volunteers on this call, or we could just simply ask members on the TTF list for if they wish to join the testing of CAVI. Mm-hmm. Let's see, any... All right, going once, going twice. Okay, interesting links being posted by Chris there. I'll review that after. All right, I'm not really seeing any objection. So I guess an action item is to find persons willing to test CAVI to see how it could work for at-large policy development. So... And Ariel has pointed out in the chat is that CAVI can allow for members to potentially vote on statements. So that, whereas we have to then set up an entirely separate voting system using Big Pulse, which is the next manual step to create it. Whereas CAVI can potentially alleviate all of those manual setting up of votes. Okay. Thanks, Chris. This is actually very, very interesting. It's a very interesting platform, I think. Okay. Any other questions? Moving on. Let me look back on the agenda. Unfortunately, Glenn, for some reason, isn't able to make this call, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, he can't really speak to about the e-books part. But so let me just move ahead over to the next item, which is the review of post Atlas II items for the technology task force. And actually, probably what I might do is share my screen to do that. Ah, I see actually Natalie has gone ahead and created the PDF. Fantastic. So I guess maybe I don't share my screen. Okay, is it unsynced so that everybody can zoom in? Let me just try to zoom in a little bit here. Okay, everyone can scroll. Lovely. Thanks, Natalie. Okay, so recommendation 10 talks about the next evolution of language services. Nothing more to add to that. Captioning is now included in the FY16 budget. So no need to talk more about that. Recommendation 11, we already made some progress. We've demonstrated some of the captioning technology for videos. And we'll be demonstrating the Skype translator preview at the end of this call, which does machine and voice translation of Skype conversations. I also have an update on the Lakralu translation tools and a possible new approach for that. That's later on in the call. Regarding recommendation 26, which is the policy management process system. This is, nothing new has been added to this. I think we're going to have to provide a better update on its time for the Buenos Aires meeting. But nothing new has been added from our past, for our previous calls. Recommendation 17. I do have some updates in terms of, this is regarding the use of social media that is blocked in certain countries and provide credible alternatives. Just to note something regarding group chat, there's been some new developments within the past 2 weeks. HipChat, which is being used, which is run by the Atlaslan, which is the makers of the maintainers of the Confluence Wiki, HipChat has acquired Hall, another group chat service, and also it's also acquired Jitsi, which is the video conferencing solution that we had also tested a few months back. And I think Atlaslan is really looking to improve HipChat because of the competition with Slack. So this is something to note. Also, the social media working group is supposed to be researching alternative social media platforms where traditional ones are blocked. So I believe that we're going to be having a social media call soon. So hopefully there will be some progress on this action item. In terms of using several tools that could be used to encrypt communication, such as Tor, I have a list of such tools. There are tools such as Siphon, Lantern, I2P, Anonymous Network, and the Tor project itself. And all of those two types of tools are multi-platform, open source, and essentially allow for communications to be encrypted, so as to allow for services that be blocked in one territory or another. So, okay, and I'll add that to the wiki as soon as possible. Regarding recommendation 29, which is the election automated system, Glenn was working on a template or a survey form that will capture the information from the RALO chairs and secretariats. One of the concerns is that the RALO chairs and secretariats aren't updating the monthly RALOs in a timely manner. And it was felt that perhaps by using a survey or wiki or form that the information will be not only more complete, but then makes it easier for information to be reshared. Unfortunately, Glenn is not on the call, and I don't have the links to the template he did in the Google Doc, which uh, I believe it was discussed at the Secretariat's group, but I don't know, Judith, if you have any information on that.
Judith? This is Judith Halstein. Yes, this is Judith Halstein for the record. Yes, it was, I can post it in the chat, but we did a template. Now, the idea for the template was to mostly give it to radio leaders as a guide, not only for their monthly secretariat reports, but also for different working groups. And then the idea, and then it would, the form, which we're still looking for comments on, was, idea is then that what was in there would generate into a spreadsheet, and Glenn and Dev and I were discussing on how we could do, turn that output of the spreadsheet into, to feed into different wikis or different other things so that people, so that Lalos who wanted to add pictures or other discussions could, and the forms could do that. And I don't know, Deb, did you get a chance to test out the links and see how we can implement that?
This is Dave. Unfortunately, no. I didn't have had a chance to look at that aspect of the template. Sorry. Judith, do you have the link to the template?
Yes, I will post it in the chat. I just have to look it up. It was on the other call, so I just have to take it from there, or it maybe staff can be faster than me and can post it in the chat too.
Great. All right. Thanks, Judith. So, just to answer some of the questions in the chat, are we going to be testing Zoom? We have to test GlobalMeet and Zoom in terms of the conferencing solutions. We'll talk about that in the later agenda. And indeed, the at-large website we designed may have some impact on the recommendation 26 and how we handle how we manage our policy development process. So, all right, and indeed, Marie has also mentioned here that PGP is also very useful for private emails. And indeed, perhaps we can add that as a link. The challenge is, of course, how we can actually test these solutions. I'm not sure if we have the bandwidth or the capability of really testing it properly. But I think we could probably just note all of these platforms. And these are the various options that people can look at to use to be able to use their services that are blocked in their territory. Okay. Let's see. I was on recommendation 29. Okay. Well, hopefully Judith will find the link to paste in the chat there. Going back to recommendation 31, ICANN and the ALAC should investigate the use of simple tools to facilitate participation in public comments. One tool that we were looking at is something called Lumio, an online tool for collaborative decision making. And I'll post the link there. Baran is actually what was the one who took in the initiative. Baran, are you able to take the floor to just tell us your opinions or thoughts about it?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Baran. Great. Thanks.
Okay, great. This is Baran for the record. Yes, I did test out Lumio, but I felt it was a bit restrictive. I think it's only meant for projects, not really very open if you want to use it for something like what we're doing. What exactly were we supposed to be using it for, Deb? Is it supposed to be to replace the AC, or is it supposed to be just a specific reason?
This is Dave. It was really this possible for use for addressing the Atlas Recommendation 31, which says let me just paste it in the chat there, that ICANN and the ALAC should investigate the use of simple tools and methods to facilitate participation in public comments and the use of crowdsourcing. So the idea would be that potentially a system like this could, you could post something for public comment, and you can use a system, and perhaps Lumio, which builds itself as an online tool for collaborative decision making, could be used to then gather the public comments. So that was.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, this is Brian for the record. I just felt it wasn't as easy to use as I thought it would be. I found it a bit difficult to sort of find menu items and things like that. I also just felt that it wasn't doing as much as it should be. It was a bit restrictive. It was too simple in a way.
This is Dave. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Brian. And indeed, just to say that, just to give some ideas, if you go check the website, there's no mobile notifications or anything of that sort. You have to really go to the site and get your notifications. And you would see your notifications on the various, in a dashboard page, and you could be joined to multiple groups in Lumio. And the way it works is that each task or question how it works is like it's something like you create a proposal and then the discussion happens underneath that, and persons can express support for it, and as people express support for it, you get to see how many people agree, abstain, or disagree, and I guess block, it kind of flows in a sense. I get what you're saying, and that it seems to be more designed for desktop first rather than mobile. Perhaps that's an unfair characterization. Even though there's no mobile apps, actually the app does work on mobile devices, but there's no native push notifications, for example. Chris has also pointed out IdeaScale is also another tool. We probably need to also do an evaluation of it. Another tool that we had also noted was something called liquidfeedback.org. So we have to do the testing for that as well. But we could probably do the testing for IdeaScale as well. And that was the tool that was that came out of the Atlas Summit. That was the one that was promoted. That was mentioned a lot. Let's see. Use IdeaScale for the panels. I have to admit, Chris, I can't remember which panels you're referring to. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, this is Chris Gift. Remember, we had those four panels that Fadi inserted a while back, and they lasted a few months.
Well,
one of the panels that Beth Novak had run, was the chair of, they used IdeaScale to solicit ideas and topics from the community on technology. It was used relatively successful, and it
right.
developed.
Yep. Okay. All right, yes. Thanks, Chris, and thanks for reminding me now what the panels were. I do recall those panels, and that was a method for gathering feedback, yes. Thanks for reminding and refreshing on my memory on that. Thanks. The thing with action item is to add an IdeaScale for testing as for recommendation 31. All right, so regarding recommendation 39, open data, I don't think we have had any progress on this aspect of how open data should be done within ICANN. I don't know, Chris, if there's been any updates on internally as to what has happened at ICANN regarding open data since our last call when you talked about it.
This is Chris Gift. No, there's been no updates about it. The only thing I can add is we are a very technical apart. It may get a bit technical, but we are looking at actively investigating changing or advancing our infrastructure for our website that would allow us to surface APIs to a lot of the data that we currently have within ICANN. And then if we take that step, then we'll make all of those APIs public, and then so people can automatically consume the same data that we use to construct the websites, and other, you know, to publicize them, to surface them to the viewers. They can use that same data in other ways. So that's a form of open data, not exactly what you were thinking, but even that, we're probably about three quarters of a year to a year away from achieving that if we do choose to go down that path. And if we do, we'll be very public about it and be very open and solicit feedback about that before we do so.
Okay. All right. Thanks. All right. And those were the post Atlas two items for the TTF. Other questions or comments on these Atlas two items? Let's see. Well, let me ask a question for planning purposes. And perhaps Olivier is probably the person to answer this question. I know that a lot of the attention is being focused on the INA stewardship transition and the ICANN accountability. Is there any particular timeline for the Atlas II items that are supposed to be addressed? There were like 20-something, 26 recommendations, I believe. Sorry, that's not true. About 36 recommendations, sorry. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dave. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. And indeed, our aim was to try and do as many as possible, as quickly as possible. In fact, it's now going to be a year since those recommendations were drafted. By the time we reach Buenos Aires, it will be roughly about a year. And it is a bit disappointing that we haven't managed to report back and implement the great majority of them. We have done a few. We've actually sent them to the board. We haven't actually even engaged in getting the feedback from the board yet. And at the same time, there is very little bandwidth that our community has to do some significant work and present the results to the board. And even, I would say, there's very little bandwidth on the board for this topic specifically. As a result, it is not planned that we will present anything to the board on this topic when we meet them in Buenos Aires, and I would recommend that perhaps we make it a note that we would, and hopefully by that time the INA Stewardship Transition ICANN accountability will have been either passed or at least be less of an oxygen taker in the room, but hopefully by Dublin, which is the AGM at the end of the year, we should then just continue our work and present the results and hopefully maybe not close off on all of the recommendations because some of them might take more than just 1 year to implement, but at least present a significant batch of them to the board by Dublin. I would say that if we do present anything on this occasion in Buenos Aires, it's pretty much going to go unnoticed by the board and probably going to, if there is any request for the board to act on things, going to be quite unlikely that the board will act on anything at the moment. Thank you. Just taking the air in the room is at the moment really taken by accountability and INA stewardship transition, and I guess it's something we couldn't have forecast a year ago. And so that's why I wouldn't really push it too hard. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess the way to proceed would be to steadily progress and document this more thoroughly so that when it can be presented, not only to the ICANN board, but to the at-large community, everybody will be on board with it. Murray, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Murray speaking for the record. Just a note or a question for Olivier on his last comment. I recall there was a lot of positive comments, and we made a presentation of a a specific group of recommendations to the board after London, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just wondering whether that presentation is still, because it was a process to have a very specific group of recommendations presented at a board meeting. Is there a presentation that's still around that we can refer to going forward? Thank you.
This is Dave. I could probably try to... Okay, I see Olivia has his hand raised. Olivia, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's Olivia speaking. Just quickly responding to Murray. There is indeed... we did give a presentation. I think we actually provided two presentations. We had one that we provided when we met in Los Angeles with the board and with an update. We also had a presentation that we gave to the board when we met with them over in London, but that wasn't really very significant because we haven't drafted the recommendations yet. We have a second presentation which we were going to present to the board during the Singapore meeting, and although it was on the agenda, we ran out of time and other topics took precedence, and so this remained in our coffers, as one would say. And I think perhaps it would help if we had the ability to have a look at both of these presentations and perhaps follow up as a group on the first set of recommendations that we sent to the board, so on the first PowerPoint presentation, and also maybe try and beef up our response and build on the second presentation that was ready. If that could be perhaps done as an action item, that would be really helpful, perhaps, as a way forward. And thanks for mentioning those, Murray.
Okay. Okay, this is Dave. Thanks. And indeed, yes, I would just agree with Murray that it would be a shame to lose the momentum. I think, indeed, what we probably do need to do is to go back to those presentations that were done in the LA meeting, and the one that was planned for the Singapore meeting. I'm sure we could find the link to those documents. Those are presentations somewhere on the wiki. And then look to update that in time for our next briefing, which may not happen for Singapore, which may not happen in time for the Buenos Aires meeting, but could possibly happen for the Dublin meeting. So, all right. Any other thoughts or comments on Atlas 2? Okay, so next steps regarding conferencing solutions and the remote hub documentation. So, and I wish Glenn was on the call because Glenn was probably could speak more to regarding the remote hubs aspect. Natalie's putting up on the screen the list of at-large hubs that were done for the past three meetings, starting with the London meeting. So you could see, and I believe the list, you could scroll down the entire list there. A lot of ISOC chapters, and quite a lot of diversity from the Los Angeles meeting across the board. So one of the things we're supposed to do is, the wiki page is up, but we need some, pen holders to really drive the documentation of the remote hubs, the do's and don'ts for the remote hubs. Ah, Murray, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes, I guess I'm the only one on the call who's actually operated a remote hub. So I do have that experience, and perhaps I should try to hand some good practices. I know, technically speaking, the ICANN staff had very good mentation to help us, and the assistance during the events was excellent as well. So, but there's sort of a broader process of trying to engage the community and ahead of the actual remote hub. So my thought was, I guess there should be some process to say, here is a particular item that's of interest to this group in this part of the world. Educate those people ahead of the actual remote hub event, and then it would make it more meaningful for everyone. That's my comment.
Okay.
If there is something to be done, perhaps I can staff and I can work on that. Happy to do
that. Okay, excellent, Murray. This is Dave. And I think, well, and these are someone who has had experience with the entire remote hub process, having applied for and set up the actual remote hub and so forth. I think your expertise will be very valuable in helping documenting. The intent of the document is to actually put prospective at-large structures what they need to have in place, or the do's and don'ts as the action item coded, as the action item was, which came out of the remote hubs discussion that the technology task force call had, on this last technology task force call. Sorry. So perhaps Murray, and let's see. I'm sure Glenn will be the person also to be involved, because yes, he has also done a lot of remote. He also was did the remote hub in New York. So I think Murray, Julie, could be the key pen holders to help try to draft the do's and don'ts for the remote hubs. Ah, I see Ariel has a hand raised. Ariel, please go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. This is Ariel for the record. I just want to add one thing is that recently there's a development about ICANN remote hubs, and in the future, the DPRD department, ICANN's Development Responsibility Department, will be leading the remote hubs for future meetings. But then for the ICANN 53 meeting, ICANN at large staff will still lead the publicity and also setting up the survey, the application form, and those things. And then the DPRD will shadow the process. And from ICANN 54, they will start lead the process. So this is just the information as a FYI. And also, if Murray and Glenn plans to draft that do's and don'ts document, I would appreciate if you can connect us. I can connect with Marie and Glenn about that, and I can convey that information to DPRD, so that we will all be in sync. And also, the GSC will participate in this ICANN 53 remote hub organization, and because it's in Latin America region, so. So it's a kind of a bigger process right now, and we try to make it more in sync and coordinated. So I think it's a good to share this information with you, and I want to make sure that I can convey the information from our community to the relevant department. So,
okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ariel. A new acronym within ICANN to be more acquainted with. So I think the action item will be Murray, Glenn, Jolie to work on the remote hub documentation. Okay, and I posted a link to the transcript from the meeting from the technology task force meeting that discussed the remote hubs there. So we could look at the transcript there and from that gather some of our ideas for that. And I guess So let's do that. Great. I know we're coming up to the top of the hour, but I did mention that we are going to be going a little bit beyond our time here to talk about the Skype Translator preview. So just to quickly update also on the conferencing solutions, I'll start the conferencing solutions. I want to do it in a Google Doc first, and then what's been happening is, well, apart from the time of doing the document, is of course there seems to be a lot of changes happening in terms of what to do and so forth. So I will post the Google Doc for the, and I guess I should make it an action item. So just so you can track it, Dave, to post the link to the Google Doc for the conferencing solutions presentation to the TTF list. Okay. All right. So, just to update also on the Lac Rallo meaningless translation. And for this, I think I probably better just share my screen here, just so that people could understand what I'm going to be talking about. I did some simple pictures here to illustrate what's happening here. All right, so I'm going to just share my screen. And hopefully, and this will lead right up to the Skype Translator preview immediately afterwards. So, all right. Okay, can everybody see my screen? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, sorry. Sorry, one of the challenges, of course, is when I share my screen, the whole Adobe Connect collapses, so sometimes I can't see your chat. So, all right. So just to go into the background of what the Lakwalo mailing list translation, how it works is that we have two separate lists, the Lakwalo EN and the Lakwalo underscore ES. So a person posts an email to the Lakwalo EN list. Transbot account that translates the email from the EN to the ES, and then the transbot will then post that translated email to the Lakwalo ES, and then those persons subscribe to that Lakwalo ES list receives that email and then replies. And the similar process happens in a reverse fashion for when a person is posting to the Lakwalo ES list. The transbot takes that email from the Lakwalo ES, machine translates the email to the English, and then posts it on the English list. And then the persons receive it on the English list. Now, the progress on moving from to a Google translation bot that's powered by Google. It's happening, but it's happening very slowly, primarily due to two things. One, there's only one person on ICANN staff working on this, Josh Jenkins, primarily, and he's kind of like doing this in his sort of on his spare time. The second is, of course, a lack of testers getting involved. Even though there's quite a few persons from Lakwalo involved, myself, Humberto Carrasso, Alejandro Passanti, that are, you know, and Leon Sanchez that are testing testing list. It's really, it's for the most part, it's mostly been me trying to post links and testing the engine and writing up bug reports. So one of the challenges, and I think it's been happening, that the challenge with this type of system as designed is that, one, this doesn't scale. So if you wanted to add Portuguese, for example, which is another spoken language in the Latin American and Caribbean region, or French even, it becomes very much harder, because then, and what happens then, source of the material, because it's now trying to translate and retranslate machine translations, when people replied back and forth, the quality of the text suffers. So that's been a challenge. And one of the things I've been thinking of, and I had a private chat with Josh Jenkins, who is the ICANN IT person, who's working on this, is to come up with a slightly different direction. And the slightly different direction here is this. So here's how it will work. And I hope I'm hearing me better now. I'll just move my mic a little closer. So here's how the potential new direction for the redesign could happen. What happens now is that there is one Lakwalo discuss list where everybody is able to post to. And once that, so what happens is that the user posts to the Lakwalo discuss list, the transbot then translates that message and posts simultaneously to the LACROLO Discuss EN and to the LACROLO Discuss ES. And then those persons that are subscribed to those lists can receive it. But then they can only reply to the Discuss list. So in other words, what happens therefore, and I hope I'm not losing people here, is that the discussion English list and the Spanish list become essentially announcement lists, where people can get announcements, but when they reply, it goes back to only to LACROLO Discuss. And the benefit of this is, one, is that it scales to multiple languages. We can add Portuguese, we can add French to this, and so forth. And the source, the original text of the posters is maintained in a coherent format and in one location. So that if there's any discrepancy, you can go back to the Discuss list and do your own machine translation to find out what the person was saying. So I don't know if there's been any. I see Olivia has raised his hand. Olivia, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dave. Olivia Capanoblanc speaking for the transcript. And I was going to ask, at the moment, if you send a message in English to the Spanish list, so to LACROLO Discuss, yes, it goes through it in English, of course. It doesn't get translated. And what sometimes people do is to send both to the English and the Spanish list, and then you receive the message both in its original form and in the translated form. And sometimes I don't even know which one of the two is more legible as such. And you do need to get people to choose which one they want to send to, and I don't think it's actually quite clear. Are you saying here that that LACROLO Discuss would send to the transbot, and the transbot would actually detect the language that is used and then translate it to the different other languages? Is that what you're saying? And what happens if it's sent in a language which is not understood by the transbot? If somebody writes in Russian, let's say, does it then get sent by default to the English list?
Well, thanks. Indeed, this was also another thing that was occurring to me, because I am dealing with that frustration myself. And I'm a person that subscribed to both the EN and the English and Spanish list. So it gets very confusing when people start posting double to both lists. The results aren't pretty. Let's put it that way. And it gets very confusing. So I'm thinking this approach would actually alleviate that, because there's only one list to post to. And the persons will then be posting to that one list only. So in theory, if there's a different language that's not supported, what could happen is, first of all, is that the transport could pass on the message as is. For example, so if somebody did post in Russian onto the LACROLO Discuss list, the transport will just simply post it as is, untranslated, to the EN and ES list. And of course, so it will handle it much more easier than how it works right now, where the transport EN is automatically, if you go back to how it is working now, the transport listens to the EN list. Its core function here is to actually just, whatever is being posted to EN, machine translate to ES regardless of what it is. And again, disastrous results when somebody posts to Spanish and it tries to machine translate into Spanish, which, again, just makes it very confusing. So.
And just another question, David. It's Olivia speaking.
Yeah.
As a follow-up, now, if one, when you have implemented the system where you've got the LACROLO Discuss that will then channel through to EN or ES, if one posts to the EN and the ES lists as well, would these be automatically redirected to the LACROLO Discuss list? And if there were duplicates, would then you would just have one that goes through rather than three messages.
Right. So what happens in this new direction is would be that the EN and ES list would be sort of like announcement list. And what will happen, we're thinking what could happen is that the transbot will change the reply to field in the email to the discuss list. So that when they click reply, it will go back to the discuss list, even though you may be subscribed to the EN or to the ES.
But often, it's Olivier again, often people have in their address book the EN list or the ES list already there. Sometimes, in fact, the mailers add this automatically as you type the first characters. It would probably be also helpful to have so the publicized old EN and ES list would have to be pointing to the Lacrallo discuss list, and perhaps the announcements would have to come from it, or when the triage, the discuss list would have to send to either EN or ES, they would have to use a backdoor or something. I don't know. I think that's possible.
Okay. Hopefully. I think, well, yeah. So the thing is, well, Josh agrees with this, and actually he thinks that this will simplify things a lot than the current model of how the approach been doing it for years now has been. So it's early days yet for this. So he says, okay, we'll try to set it up and then see how this works. And hopefully that the challenge you're presenting it can be alleviated. I'm thinking if the email goes to the EN list, the worst case what we could do is simply just bounce it back and say, look, you can't post to this list. You got to post to discuss. So that's, you know, we can... But I'm thinking that this will actually make life a lot easier because it will have one source of original emails, attachments are kept, those type of things. That all of those problems that we're having right now could be better done with this new model. So I think in the chat here there's something called discourse. I've heard of this, and actually we probably should try to look at that as well. I've only seen the page, but I think we should probably add this course to the test for testing as well. So we could probably add that as an action item. The use of this course to test for the technology task force to test. So, okay. Any other thoughts or comments or questions? Okay. The only downside of this this is that, unfortunately, unless you have a miraculous breakthrough in terms of more persons working on this problem, and ICANN side of things, I don't think there's going to be a form of the new mailing list translation could be announced at Buenos Aires, which I would have loved to have done. So unfortunately, the problem of the mailing list was. Still continue on a little bit. Hopefully, not for too long, but not be solved in time for Buenos Aires. Okay. All right, and indeed, Chris. Yes, and it'll be good to have that discussion with Josh Jenkins and see what can be done. Okay. Not seeing any other questions. Okay, so. Our next agenda item is to look at the Skype translation preview system. So let me just close off. Yeah, the Skype translator preview. So what I'm going to do is open up Skype translator preview. All right. And let me see if I just... So let me just go into some background here, because what's going to be happening first is that I should be getting a dialogue from Natalie, if I can get a dialogue to my phone, so that what can happen is that I will then mute my Adobe Connect audio, and then hopefully people will hear the audio through Skype Translator through my phone. Okay, so bear with me while we do that right this second. Hello?
Hello, sir. It's the conference operator. I'm placing you in the conference.
Yes, thank you.
Is that your next conference call?
So requested for Deb, it's Marie McGurcher speaking. Is this Skype Translate, is this something that's currently available at the moment?
Okay. This is Dave. All right, so what I've done, I've muted my AT audio, and now dialed into the phone bridge. Are you all hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you, Dave.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I see Ariel is online. So, I hope you can see my screen. So Ariel, let me just have a conversation. So, let me just show you how this works. So, Skype Translator Preview only works for Windows 8. And you also have to have a Microsoft account. So what will happen is that you can use your old, well, I would say use your Skype account to merge with the Microsoft account. And from then on, you'll use your Microsoft account to use Skype, the Skype Translator Preview. So how it works is that I can enable translation for each contact. So I could turn it on. And I could specify the spoken languages. And there's only four spoken languages. Chinese, English, Italian, and Spanish. But I do not know why French was not allowed or done yet. But those are the four spoken languages. And also, you can specify the chat messaging. And if you could see on my screen, there's a lot more languages specified here. Okay, continue. So when I type, what happens? You would see the machine, Skype will now translate that to Chinese. Okay. All right. So just to answer the questions in the chat, you need Windows 8. I would say Windows 8.1, I guess. And or Windows Phone. Or running the Windows Phone mobile OS, such as, you know, the Surface, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the translation will work for communicating to regular Skype accounts. So it's not as if both persons need Skype Translator Preview. Only one person will. Okay? All right. So if you're looking at the chat right now, Ariel has just typed. Well, and it translated it into Chinese for me. But of course, yeah. So when Ariel types in Chinese, it's translated to English for me. Okay. There you go. Okay, so let's see if we can now do a voice conversation now with Ariel. So Ariel, are you ready to have a voice conversation?
This is Ariel speaking, Dave. Just as a disclaimer, if you hear the voice translator from my line, because I will be speaking Chinese and will be interpreted into English, and it's not 100% precise and may say something weird, but it's not what I mean. So this is a disclaimer. Thank you. All right.
Yes. Thanks. So yes. So the translation is not perfect. All right. So you might see some strange results, but it is quite amazing to see it in action. Okay. So the Skype translator, you can only download it from the Windows Store. And of course, from the Windows Store, you need the Microsoft account. So that's why it only works in Windows 8.1 and the Windows Phone OS. Okay. Indeed. All right. So let's do this. So Ariel? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So now I'll be conversing with Ariel in Chinese. You'll hear it soon.
Sorry.
Personal. 请求四种翻译呼叫，呼叫可能会被录音，应用于改善微软的翻译和语音识别服务。如果您不想被录音，请断开通话。戴维，你好。Hello,
Ariel.
你好，艾丽儿。今天你那边的天气怎么样？
我们这儿的天气也很好。So let me go talk back to the connect room here. So what's happening is that as I speak, the message is transcribed by Skype. So as I talk, you can see the text happen in the chat, Skype chat. Okay. And also, a machine voice speaks the Chinese to Ariel. Yeah. So Ariel, if you want to, you can also type in something, and it would machine translate it back. Or as she speaks in Chinese, there you go, happens. So Ariel, why don't you say something? And as you heard just now, you heard the machine voice speak in English what Ariel spoke after the machine Skype transcribed what she said.
This 功能确实很厉害。
As you can see, it's not suited.
虽然不完美，但是还可以帮助全世界的人相互沟通。这句话翻得很准。So,
any thoughts or questions on the, that we can ask you? Okay, I see Olivia has his hand raised. Go ahead, Olivia.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Dave. Olivier Capin-Leblanc speaking. And my question is, I understand that Ariel, on her side, is able to hear the synthetic voice speaking to her in Chinese. I was under the impression that this was going to work the other way as well, but I can only see the text translation. Is this a feature or is this a bug?
Okay, so let me see if I understand you, Olivier. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, thanks. It's Olivier speaking. I heard, when you were speaking, then I can hear that Ariel on her side gets a synthesized voice speaking to her, the translated version in Chinese. But when Ariel spoke, I didn't hear I saw the text being translated. So, sorry, I saw what she said being translated to English and put in the text, but I didn't hear a synthesizer synthesize what was said and speak to us like Stephen Hawking. Is this a feature, or is it meant to be like this, or are we meant to actually hear voices on both sides?
I can probably answer that question. This is Ariel speaking. When I heard the Chinese interpretation, I speak Chinese. I replied that in Chinese, and then that reply was interpreted into English as well. So it's both ways. But I don't know whether you heard that English interpretation.
Well, I didn't. It's Olivier speaking. I haven't. I just read the text, but I didn't hear the synthesizer say the text, so I don't know whether that was meant to be like this or not.
This is Ira speaking again. I think it's because Dave is on the receiving end, and he probably heard that, and I heard that as well, so I'm not sure why it's not broadcast in the AC room, but we both heard the English interpretation as well.
This is Dave. Yes, indeed. I was hearing the English as Arya spoke. There's a pause. There is a pause because if you think about it, you know, what's happening is that the voice is captured, sent to Microsoft, transcribed, then machine translated, and then a machine is then also then speaking the English words. So there is some delay. Okay.
Okay, that's fine. It's Olivier speaking. Yeah, because we're on the Adobe Connect, we hadn't heard the response. It didn't come out. I guess you probably are using headphones, so it came out on the headphones, but we couldn't hear it on the Adobe Connect. But that's fine. If it works both ways, that's super, really impressive. Thank you.
So, and obviously we have to speak slowly. This is Dave again. In order for the translation to catch up. So you have to... Okay. But I have to say, this is quite impressive that this is happening in real time. You know, it's kind of like the stuff you read in books, you know, the Babel Fish. Are there any more questions? Oh. I'm just looking at the Adobe Connect chat. Okay. As far as I understand it, Evan, this only works one-to-one. It will not work in a group chat. So, yeah, this is only going to work for one-to-one.
I don't care, 我没有说那句话。
So this is Dave again. So I hopefully this everybody's gotten the idea of this and how the Skype Translator preview works. The other thing also is that the conversation, at least for the Skype preview, is being sent to Microsoft. So all of this conversation is going to Microsoft. So there's no, your conversation is not totally private. Mm-hmm. But again, it's quite impressive. The transcribing, I'm surprised, works very well in English. Part of me was trying to think maybe we can use this as a captioning tool. To get a transcript. Okay, so any other thoughts or comments or questions? Okay. All right. I think we can end this call. Okay. Take care, Ariel. Bye. Okay, so I think we can stop and end this call now. And any other comments or questions? Notifications. Oh, by the way, also I guess there's an ability to save the transcript of the call. So, indeed, the spoken languages only work for four. The instant messaging transcription, that's about a lot more. Which makes sense. Because essentially just taking the text and machine translating it, that's as we are accustomed to with Google Translate. Yeah, lots of languages. I'm just surprised French wasn't one of the spoken languages. All right.
Okay, so in terms of next steps for our next meeting, I'll talk to Judith and Glenn to figure out our next options. I'm thinking we will have to have another technology task force call towards the end of the month, and possibly even a special purpose call to look at, say, the conferencing solutions. Oh. Okay. All right. Seeing no further hands raised, so I'd like to thank everyone for attending this call. And this call is now adjourned. Thank you all. Have a great morning, afternoon, evening.
Bye. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.